I've been amazed over the last few days, over the last few weeks, at how many people have been talking about the authorized version, and how many people have been speaking about the anniversary, the 400th anniversary of the King James Bible. I was surprised to find that even an atheist was reading from the authorized version. I'm sure that some of you have heard of Richard Dawkins. He's an atheist, no time for God. But he actually read a portion of the King James Version. I'm not sure who it was that was who asked him to read it. Some organization that are having a campaign, and they're getting different people from public life to read chapters and portions of the King James Bible. And an atheist, even someone like Richard Dawkins, agreed to read the Word of God. It's very surprising, isn't it? But it's wonderful. And thank God the Word of God can get to the very heart of that man. The Word of God can pierce into the heart of that atheist and convict him of his sin and his atheism and lead him to the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Of course, others have been jumping on the bandwagon, you could say. And what surprises me is that people who normally have no time for the authorized version, and every Sunday in their church they'll read from one of the per versions, they're now starting to talk about the authorized version. Strange that. People, if we can put it like this, crawling out of the woodwork. They're crawling out of the woodwork now that the anniversary of the authorized version has come. And they're claiming to be those who love the authorized version. But yet, up until now, they've been deniers of the authorized version. The authorized version has been removed from the pulpit. It's a tragedy. But nonetheless, we rejoice that so many people are speaking about the authorized version. My advice to you this year would be, take advantage of it. Make as much fuss as you can about the authorized version. Make as much fuss as you can about the Word of God. It seems that Sovereign Lord of Glory is opening a door for His church. And surely this is an opportunity that we must grasp with both of our hands. We must take every opportunity to get the Word of God out to the community, to get the Word of God in all its purity out to the people. So I trust that the Lord will help us throughout this coming year, that we might use His precious Word. I want us to come to the text of Scripture that we have already read from today, Hebrews 4, verse 12. I want you to notice, first of all, the energy that's described for us here. The energy. You see, this text tells us that the Word of God is quick. The Word of God is quick. Now, this does not mean quick in the sense that we know it today. It's not speaking about the Word of God being fast. We think of the word quick today and we think of fast. That's another word that we would use for quick. But it's not speaking about quickness or fastness. But it simply means alive or living. The word quick means living. You see, you've heard in the Apostles' Creed, I think it is, it speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ will come again to judge the quick and the dead. You've heard that phrase, the quick and the dead. And the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy 4, he charges Timothy, before the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing. It simply means, this word quick simply means alive, living. The Word of God is alive, it's living. There's an energy to be found in it. And it's divine energy. It's energy from
above. There's a life about it. There's a life in it that no other book possesses. There's a life and an energy in the Word of God that no other book ever printed contains. Martin Luther used to talk of the Bible, and he used to say that it was like a living creature. It had hands and feet. That was Luther's description of it. It was living. It was like a living creature. It was like a living entity, we could say. There's a life, there's a vibrancy, there's an energy about it, and it comes from heaven itself. So the Word of God is quick. The Word of God is living. How could the Word of God be anything else but living whenever it comes from the living God? The living God. The Scriptures describe the Lord. They describe Jehovah as the living God. You remember Hebrews 10 verse 31. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. We can turn to many other verses that speak of the living God. And it was the living God who moved King James to translate the Authorized Version. It was the living God who moved King James to appoint those 47 translators 400 years ago to translate the Word of God. The Word of God is quick, it's living, because it comes from the living God. How could the Word of God be anything but living when it comes from the living God? But let me say secondly, how could the Word of God be anything but living when it comes from a living Savior? And it speaks of a living Savior. This book is alive because Jesus is alive. This book contains that vibrancy, that energy, because the Lord Jesus Christ today in heaven has that vibrancy, that energy, that life, that resurrection life, that endless life that he took whenever he rose from the dead. And that same life, that resurrection life that pulses through the Lord Jesus Christ today at the Father's right hand, that same life pulses through this book. Is it any wonder that we rejoice when we hear of radio stations like Radio 4 broadcasting the Word of God, the living Word of God? We rejoice because we know that there's a life, there's an energy within it that can bring a sinner to Christ. There's an energy in it that can restore the backslider. There's an energy in it that can meet the need of every heart. Oh, the energy that's found in the Word of God. The Word of God is quick. You heard me a few weeks ago use the illustration, but perhaps for any who weren't there that Sunday evening, I'll use the illustration again. There was a certain preacher who went to have an open air, and he actually went into a shopping centre to have an open air. So he wanted to get a congregation. Every open air preacher, every preacher needs a congregation. So he thought to himself, well, how am I going to get a congregation today? You know what he did? He took this book. He cast it down in the shopping center, threw it down on the floor. And whenever he threw the book, the Bible, on the floor, now he wasn't being irreverent with the Bible. He put it on the floor and he started to shout at the top of his voice, "It's alive! It's alive!" And he got his congregation very quickly, because people heard him and they saw him pointing at this thing. Now, they didn't know that it was the Bible, but they saw him pointing to this thing on the floor, and they were curious to know what it was, and they came over. And whenever the people came over, then he picked up the Bible off the floor
And he started to preach to them. That illustration teaches us that there's a life in this book that no other book on earth possesses. There's an energy, but I want you not only to think about the energy, but think about how the Word of God is effective. Effective. You see, this text in Hebrews tells us that the Bible is effective. The Bible always achieves its aims. The Bible never fails. We all know the well-known verse in Isaiah 55, verse 11. My word shall not return unto me void. The word void means empty. God the Father sends his word down into a lost world. The Lord of glory publishes his word. He sends forth his word into a fallen world for a particular purpose, and that purpose is always achieved. It never fails. That's another reason why we major on the Bible. That's why we place the reading of the Word of God at the very top of the list. Because whenever the Word of God is read, there's a purpose in it. The Father in heaven has a purpose for it, and that purpose will be accomplished. Even though the reader of the Scriptures might be a stammerer and stutter and stumble over the words. Even though the reader, the preacher, is weak and feeble, yet there's a power in the Word of God. It's effective. And you see, the Word of God never returns void to the Lord. It always achieves its aim. How do I know that it's effective? Well, look at the text again. It says, the Word of God is quick and powerful. Powerful. That word powerful tells me that the Scriptures are effective. I'm sure that some of you have heard of the mutiny on the Bounty. The Bounty was one of our nation's ships that set sail way back in the 1700s. And maybe some of you saw the film in 1984 starring Mel Gibson, The Bounty. And of course, Mel Gibson was one of the main characters. He was the character of Fletcher Christian. Well, there was another man on that ship. His name was John Adams. And John Adams and some of the other people on the ship, they had a mutiny. There was a mutiny on the ship. They rebelled against the captain of the ship. And they put the captain and some of the crew into a lifeboat, and they sent them away from the ship. And those sailors that were left on the ship, eventually they came to an island called Pitcairn Island. It's in the South Pacific. And they settled on Pitcairn Island. Now they were wicked, vile, evil men. And because of their wickedness and their debauchery, all those men but one died very quickly. Most of them murdered. Some of them died through disease, but mostly because of murder. And there was only one man left on the island. His name was John Adams. John Adams was just as wicked and perverted as the rest of the men. But the Lord spared him. And you know what? John Adams one day discovered a Bible on Pitcairn Island. He started to read that Bible, and that Bible transformed that man. He was brought to Christ, he was saved, and there were women and children left on the island. And John Adams started to teach the women and the children the Word of God. What a transformation. The Word of God changed that man who was so vile and so evil. Totally changed him, made him a new creature in Christ. Changed the women and the children. That island that had been the scene of wickedness and vileness and evil of all manner, of every description, sin of every kind had been practiced.
But because of the word of God, that island was totally changed. What changed the island? It was the power of the word of God. It was the effectiveness of the word of God. You see, that incident all those years ago proves to me that what Hebrews 4 verse 12 says is true. The word of God is powerful. The Bible is likened to a hammer. Jeremiah chapter 23. Is not my word as a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? It's likened to a fire. It's likened to light. It's likened to food. It's likened to so many things. And all of these illustrations are seeking to teach us that the word of God is effective. It is powerful. So first of all, there's an energy here about the word of God in Hebrews 4 and verse 12. It's not only an energy, and not only is it effective, but then thirdly, today I want you to think about the fact that the Bible is exceptional. It's exceptional. You see, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 goes on to say that the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. Sharper than any two-edged sword. There's no sword to be compared to it. There's no book to be compared to it. The Bible is exceptional. The Bible is the exception to the rule. It's different. It's unique. It's not the same as other books. It's not the same as War and Peace. It's not the same as Pride and Prejudice. It's not the same as other great books that people read today. People today are into all kinds of novels and books written by men like Tom Clancy and John Grisham and all these people. And people are into their books and people are reading crime thrillers and all sorts of other publications. But the Word of God is different from them. The Word of God is exceptional compared to these other books. The Word of God is light years ahead of these other books. It's unique. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. The Word of God is sharper than any book of Christian literature. Now, I know that we should read Christian books and commentaries and study aids and other magazines, and we believe in having a literature table with magazines, and our own denomination has the Alert magazine, and we do read these magazines, these publications, but compared to the Word of God, they're nothing. Yes, they have profit, there's benefit, they edify us, but they're not exceptional. Only the Word of God is exceptional. There's something different about it. Back in Bible times, the Romans used two swords. One sword was a long, heavy sword that was very destructive, but it was very heavy and very difficult to use. It took great strength even to be able to carry it and to use it. There's another sword that was called the Machaira. The Machaira, it was different. It was a short, lighter sword that a soldier could handle very easily. But it was different from the bigger sword because it had two edges. Both edges were razor sharp. The other sword, yes, it could cause great destruction, wielded by a strong, heavy man. But it only had one edge. The Machaira, the sword that the Roman soldiers chose to use more than the other sword, this Machaira, this sword, had two edges. It was a double-edged sword. A two-edged sword. I believe that that's in the mind of the Apostle Paul as he writes to the Hebrews. And he says that the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. Paul is saying that the Word of God is exceptional. It has two edges. You've heard me before perhaps talk about the two edges of the sword, the two edges of the Word of God. One edge represents the Old Testament. The other edge represents the New Testament. But let me put it like this, and I hope that this is something fresh that I haven't spoken of before. But you think about those two edges. You see, those two edges speak of wounding and healing. And the Word of God, first of all, wounds the sinner. The Word of God shows the sinner his or her need of Christ. There's the wounding that takes place. But then there's the healing. Whenever the Word of God pierces the heart of a soul, revealing to them their awful wickedness, their sinfulness, then the Word of God shows to them the one who can meet their need. And his name is Jesus. The sinless one. The spotless one. The perfect one. The one who laid down his life as an atonement on Calvary's cross. The one who shed his blood to provide remission of sins. You see, the Word of God is a two-edged sword, as it were, because first of all, it wounds and then it heals. One edge is for wounding. The other edge is for healing. Think about it like this. You think about a surgeon's scalpel for a wee moment. Whenever the surgeon has to operate, well, the first thing he has to do is to wound the patient. Takes out the scalpel and the incision is made. And the wound is made. But why, tell me, why does he wound the patient? It's because he wants to heal the patient. The edge, that razor sharp edge of the scalpel in the operating theatre, it wounds with the purpose of healing. And whenever the surgeon can make that wound and he gets into the part of the body that needs attention, oh my, then he can be used by the Lord with the skill that God has given to him or her to bring about healing. And you see, that's the purpose of the Bible, isn't it? Isn't that the purpose of the Word of God? Some people have no time for this book. Some people despise this book. Some people think this book is negative and it's only there to condemn. No, that's not the main purpose. The main purpose of this book is to heal. Thank God, the main purpose of this book is to present to a lost world a wonderful Savior. Thank God for this two-edged sword. This book that is sharper than any two-edged sword. And then not only think about the energy, the Word of God, and how effective it is, and how exceptional it is, but then I want you to finish with this thought. Think about how the Word of God exposes. The Bible exposes. You see, you'll notice there that it says that the Word of God is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Do you know today that the Bible is able to reach the deepest part of your being? And the Lord uses His Word to reach into the deepest recesses of the human heart. And He exposes the rebellion, and He exposes the sin, and He exposes that which is unholy. And you see, the Word of God has a power to expose scheming and craftiness and plotting. Devices that the enemy is using. Plans and schemes in the heart of man that are rebellious and that are grieving to the Lord. The Word of God can expose them. There's a power in this book to expose. This book is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. I can't see the thoughts and intents of your heart today, and neither can you see the thoughts and intents of my heart today. But the Word of God can see them. You notice there that there's a reference to the joints and the marrow. It's very interesting. Where do you find the marrow in the human body? You find it inside your bones. Right at the innermost part of your body. That's where the Word of God can get to. It can get right in, as we would say, under your skin. I wonder, dear friend, today, would you acknowledge that the Word of God has been really piercing you? The Word of God has been really searching you. It has been coming to you over recent days, recent weeks, recent months, even years. And every time you've heard the Word of God, it's just as if it goes to the very deepest part of your being. And it, as it were, sends a shudder through you. It sends shivers down your spine. Because you know that you're not saved. You're not born again. Yes, perhaps you're God-fearing. And you're decent and you're respectable. But the Word of God shows you that that's not enough. It is simply not enough. What can wash away my stain? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Would you not come to Christ on this, the opening day of the opening Sunday of 2011? What a wonderful day to be saved. The first Lord's Day of a new year. Would you not turn to Christ? Would you not seek the Savior today? Our prayer is that the Lord would give you grace to do that. And then whenever you seek Christ, you know the wonderful thing. You know what the wonderful thing is about it? The Word of God won't pierce you anymore. The Word of God won't stab you anymore, if I can put it like that. The Word of God won't hurt you anymore. But you know what? Rather than piercing and hurting you, this book will comfort you. This book will strengthen you. This book will thrill your soul because it will point you to Christ. It will point you to the one who took your place on Calvary. And the Spirit of God will say to you in the words of the hymn writer, Calvary covers it all. Calvary covers it all. My sin and despair, Jesus took on him there. And Calvary covers it all. And there's no greater comfort than that. I'm sure that some of you have heard of the great 18th century preacher, George Whitefield. George Whitefield preached in the 1700s. One of the great men who used to preach alongside John Wesley. Whitefield and Wesley were great friends and comrades and colleagues in the gospel. But on one occasion, George Whitefield was preaching the gospel. And there was a man who used to love to mock Whitefield. And he used to act him and impersonate Whitefield. And one day after watching and seeing the great preacher preach to the crowds, this man by the name of Thorpe, he went to a public house and he got his friends together and he started to act Whitfield and he started to preach and he started to quote verses of scripture and he was mocking. But you know, before he had finished mocking George Whitefield, he was saved. He was converted. Why was he converted? Because the word of God had pierced his heart. The word of God that he quoted, the verses of the Bible that he quoted as he mocked the great preacher, pierced his heart. The word of God got to the very joints and marrow of that man, that rebel, that blasphemer. And in that public house that day, he was gloriously converted to Christ. No wonder the Bible says the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword.